today is Education Sunday. We are going to be thinking, well, we're going to be praying for educators, I mentioned that, for those who are going back to school, universities, all of that. But the theme for today's service is prayer, because I think that is an area that we as Christians, we constantly need to keep educating ourselves on and growing in. In fact, all areas of our faith, I think it's just good practice, isn't it, to keep trying to grow and develop. And when I was thinking about what I could speak about prayer to our young people, I started to think that, I don't know about you, but I think for me, many times when we speak to young people about prayer, we mention the fact that, you know, you can speak to God at any time, anyhow you want. God is always accessible. You can speak to God while walking down the street, and prayer is just talking to God. You can talk to God when you are on the bus. You can talk to God, you know, anywhere. And it's true, and it's amazing that we emphasize the accessibility of God. But part of me wonders if, in doing so, maybe we make prayer seem easy. Maybe we paint the picture that prayer is something really easy that happens, when actually, when we look at what the Bible says about prayer, in particular, Jesus' parables that he taught about prayer, we notice that Jesus paints a really honest picture about prayer and what prayer is. So in Luke chapters 11 and 18, he mentions two parables where he compares God to a friend who refuses to get up in the middle of the night, an unresponsive prayer, and he also compares God to an unfair authority figure. And I think in doing so, Jesus kind of refuses to hide the fact that prayer often involves engagement with silence. That whilst we can pray to God anywhere, anytime, it's not that it's easy. Sometimes we do have to struggle through seasons of silence. Sometimes we do have to struggle through seasons where it feels like we are a bit isolated. It feels like maybe God isn't listening, but God is. So I think today, I just wanted to encourage us all that the key is persistence. Prayer is accessible, but that does not mean it's always easy. And we have to be persistent in prayer. The Bible says pray without ceasing. So that's something, you know, without ceasing, you do it, and you keep doing it, and you keep doing it, and you keep doing it, no matter if it's hard, no matter if there's moments of silence. Of course, we've just had the Olympics, and I found so much inspiration watching these athletes, and nearly all of them talk about how they had to persevere through hard times. They had to persevere through injuries, they had to persevere through failures, they had to have a sense of persistence. And the same is true for us with prayer. So that's really the key message I wanted to share. Are any of us here familiar with Coldplay? Coldplay? One person? Two people. Okay, a few. Coldplay, they are a band. They are a British band. They are led by a lead singer called Chris Martin. And they have released various hits, some of which include Viva La Vida, The Scientist, Fix You, Clocks. I have to admit, I do like a bit of Coldplay. I do enjoy Coldplay. And they released a song, I think maybe 2 weeks ago. It popped up on my Spotify. And when I saw the title, I kind of went, oh, because the title was called We Play. And I thought, what is going on here? Coldplay, they're not Christian, by the way. They have released a song called We Play. So of course, I opened it up immediately to listen to it with a bit of trepidation because, you know, you can never be too sure. So I want to read you some of the lyrics of this song. It says, and so we play. I pray that I don't give up, pray that I do my best, pray that I can lift up, pray my brother is blessed, Pray for Inna, pray for Hideo Wind. Pray I judge nobody and forgive me my sins. I pray we make it, pray my strength will pull through. Pray as I take it unto others I do. Praying on your love, we pray with every breath, though I'm in the valley of the shadow of death. And then the chorus says, and so we pray for someone to come and show me the way. And so we pray for some shelter and some records to play. And so we'll pray, we'll be singing Barale, pray that we make it to the end of the day. And so we pray. I know somewhere that heaven is waiting, and so we pray. I know somewhere there's something amazing, and so we pray. I know somewhere we'll feel no pain until we make it to the end of the day. Now, as you can imagine, this song has caused quite a stir. And if chart songs capture the mood of the day, then what does this new release say about the culture we live in? So another verse of the song says, on my knees I pray as I sleep and wake, because inside my head is a frightening place. I keep a smiling face only by his grace, because his love's more than I can take. And so we pray. And I think this is it's very reflective of our current day, especially that line, because inside my head is a frightening place. I keep a smiling face only by his grace. And if we look at the recent happenings in the UK alone, just over the past month, there has been a lot going on. You know, the attacks on the children, followed by the riots and the scenes of violence and hatred. And the song also has two lines that point to other things happening in the world. So in the first verse, it says, play for Hideo Wins. So that refers to a case of Virgilio Aguilar Mendez, a teen migrant from Guatemala who was falsely accused of causing the death of a police officer. So that went to trial, and then he was, what's the word it put in? And then another line says, we'll be singing Barale. So that references the song Barale, which became an anthem in Iran after the 22 Iranian woman, I'm sure you've heard this on the news, she died in police custody after being arrested for wearing her hijab improperly. So the song is pointing to things happening in the world around us. And it's acknowledging that we need prayer, which is definitely true. And interestingly enough, a few days ago, they uploaded a blank verse version on YouTube so that the listeners can add their own prayers and verses to the song. And I'm not going to go off on a tangent, but there's a debate about liturgy and whether it's dead. And I think that's really interesting because it's basically a form of liturgy, but we won't go there. So the whole nation is talking about prayer at the moment, or singing about prayer rather, but who are we praying to? Because I've just read the lyrics of the song, and nowhere in the song was God mentioned. Nowhere in the song does it mention who we are praying to. It doesn't mention Jesus, it doesn't mention any type of God. And even though it does seem to quote from the Bible, it says, though I'm in the valley of the shadow of death, there's no indication as to who we are all praying to. Now, there's a lot to be said about the spiritual landscape in the UK at the moment. I don't know if you've noticed, but things are changing. We'll touch on that a bit later. But I think that what the song does do is that it captures the fact that there seems to be a spiritual hunger for prayer. People are thirsty. They want to talk to God. They might not be sure what God they should be speaking to, but they want to talk to God. And one person, one commentator, he mentioned on the song that, yeah, it articulates a spiritual hunger that many people resonate with. And some of you may remember at the start of lockdown, Google searches spiked for how do I pray? And I personally, I find that so beautiful because it just reminds me of the words of Jesus' disciples when they go to Jesus and they say, Lord, teach us to pray. During that moment in lockdown, when everyone, this pandemic was happening, people were unsure, they all go on Google and they start Googling, how do I pray? So today, what I want to talk a bit about is prayer, but more specifically, kind of intimacy and closeness with God and how we can build up a close relationship with God. Because I think in this day and age, it's really important that each and every one of us knows not just how to talk to God, but how to hear from God and how to discern the voice of God for ourselves. And I want to focus on the Lord's Prayer as kind of a guide as to how we can build up a relationship or a close relationship with God. And I want to focus on these points in particular: honesty, position, approach, address, and the kingdom. And the kingdom. So when they asked Jesus, how do we pray? His reply to this starts with honesty. So he says, when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. And the Greek word used there, it means an actor, a stage player, a pretender. So God wants us to come before him authentically. We don't need to put on airs, we don't need to pretend we are strong and we have it all together or that we know what we're doing. We can be honest with God. We can tell God that we're tired. We can tell God that we are disappointed. We can tell God that we have no idea of what is happening in our life or where we're going or what we're supposed to be doing or that we're sad. Whatever the case may be, we can tell God that we are struggling. It's okay to show God our weaknesses. God wants us to come to him authentically. And I think the next part reinforces that because it goes on to say, when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And I don't think this means that we are only to pray behind closed doors. Public prayer was a big part of Jewish life. It's a big part of Christian life. We pray publicly today during the service. We will do so again later. But again, I think it's talking about authenticity. When we're in our room, we have no airs. You know, that's when we can do what we want to do. We can be ourselves. So again, it's talking about coming to God and being free to be ourselves. The second thing, position. So Jesus directs us to address God as our Father in heaven. Why? And I think the first and foremost thing for prayer is relationship. So our Father gives us a position. It tells us that we are God's children and that prayer is a privilege that is reserved for God's children. If you're not a child of God, so if you haven't given your life to God or declared God as your Lord and Savior, then you have no access to God. Because the Bible tells us that it's through Jesus that we come to the Father. I can come to God with my prayer requests and my petitions, because I have a relationship, and that relationship has come through his Son, Jesus Christ. But then it also makes clear who we are addressing our prayer to, and that's the third point. So unlike the Coldplay song that talks about prayer for nearly 4 minutes, but without once mentioning who these prayers should be addressed to, Jesus makes clear from the beginning that we should address our prayers to our Father in heaven. And this may sound obvious, and those of you who have been a Christian for a while, you may be thinking, this is obvious things, this is obvious stuff that we're talking about. You know, we know this, we learned this in Sunday school, but actually, not all that obvious now in this day and age. So I mentioned about the changing spiritual landscape of the UK, and there is a lot happening. I think people are embracing different forms of spirituality. You would be surprised by the amount of people in our day and age who they come to church on Sundays and pray to the Christian gods, and then on Monday they are addressing their prayers to the universe, and then on Wednesday they are burning sage and putting out crystals and absorbing bad energies, and then on Friday maybe they'll pray to Allah, and then on Saturday they'll be reading horoscope and looking for guidance in the stars and in the planets, and then on Sunday it's back to church. And I have met too many of these people, my age, younger, who they are doing this. They declare themselves Christians, but they are also looking to Mercury for guidance. They are also looking to horoscopes for guidance. They are also involved in all types of different things. And for me, it's worrying. It's worrying because if we identify as Christians, we are quoting scriptures, we are going to church, but then we are also putting our trust in other gods, it shows a lack of relationship with God. It shows that we do not know God, even though we are quoting Bible passages and we are quoting scriptures. Yet again, it shows a lack of relationship with God. So who are we addressing our prayers to? Jesus said that our prayers should be addressed to God the Father in the care of Jesus. In John, it says, whatever you ask in my name, Jesus said this, I will do that the Father may be glorified in his Son. Whatever you ask in my name. And that name should not be one of many names. That name should be the only name. The name of Jesus should be the only name that we put our trust in. And then the next sentence picks up on this because it says, hallowed be your name. So God's name should be hallowed. It should be holy. That's all hallowed means. It should be holy. It should be set apart from any other name or form of help. And this speaks about approach. So the Christian term that we like to use for approach is posture. Our posture in prayer matters. How we approach God in prayer matters. So I want you to think, let me give the example of toddlers. Toddlers, when they want something, normally they will just yell whatever it is they want. If they want yogurt, they will just yell, yogurt, and keep yelling it until they get it. Yogurt, 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 until they get the yogurt. But then as they grow a bit, and as their parents teach them, that might turn into yogurt, please. And then they grow and mature a bit more, and that might turn into, can I please have a yogurt mom? And then as, you know, they grow up even more, maybe now then they're teenage years, or they're tweens, that might turn into, hi mom, how are you? Please can I have a yogurt from the fridge? But then it gets to the point where they move on from thinking about just their needs, and then it turns into, hi mom, how are you? Oh, really good time today. Have you had a long day? And then they start conversing with their mom. And then during the course of that conversation, they might even forget that, oh, the reason I came to mom is because I want a yogurt. Instead, they are just enjoying their mother's presence and just enjoying talking to their mother. And that's how we should be with God as well. When we come to God, do we immediately start saying, Lord, I need a car immediately. You know, my car broke down yesterday, I need it, how am I going to get to work? I'm so worried, and it's so expensive, and the bills, and the electricity, and we just start throwing requests at him. Or when we come to God, do we say, hi God? Do we say, how are you? Why not? Why not ask God how he is? Do we say, our Father in heaven? Do we say, holy is your name? Do we start recognizing the presence, whose presence we are in, the creator of the universe? We take a moment to think about how awesome he is, to think about how much he loves us, to think about the fact that he would even allow us into his presence. We are to start our prayers by acknowledging the holiness of God. And as we meditate on his greatness and his person and his power, this helps to put requests into perspective. And too often we are so overwhelmed by the greatness of our difficulty that we forget to see the greatness of God. Our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. As Christians, we long for the kingdom of God to come. We yearn for the day when the kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of God and he will reign over the whole earth. Our task as Christians is to bring people into the kingdom of God. And I find it so funny that we kind of mumble that line, your kingdom come, your will be done. We mumble it so passively. But when we stop and we think about what that line is actually saying, it's actually not a passive act at all. It's actually almost a declaration of warfare. So think about it. We are asking for a king, another kingdom, another authority, another ruler to come and establish his kingdom where we are. That is basically an act of warfare. If you think about all the regimes and the kingdoms where another kingdom has been overthrown, that came about with struggle. It came about with struggle. It's the only word I can think of. It's not a passive act. So if we are praying, Lord, your kingdom come, this isn't something we're going to achieve by mumbling prayers for 10 minutes a day, throwing words up to heaven. It's something that is going to take struggle. It's something that is going to take persistence in prayer, tenacity in prayer. Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We cannot pray on our schedule when we feel like it, if we don't feel like it. Throw words up to heaven and expect the kingdom of God to come. We need to own it. Your kingdom come. And as I've kind of got older in my walk with God, I've realized that true intimacy with God is setting aside your own agenda, your own will, and praying just that your kingdom come. Not my kingdom, not my will, but actually God, your kingdom come. Your will be done in my life. I want to do this, but God, if you want me to do this instead, I will set aside my own will and I will do what you want me to do in order to search for your kingdom and your righteousness. And I want to end by sharing the story of Jackie Pillinger. Jackie Pillinger is a British missionary. She must be around 80 years old now, but still full of energy, full of, you know. So I heard her speak a couple of weeks ago now. Not last week, 2 weeks ago. So I went to a festival, it's a Christian festival. We go camping, they have different speakers who come and they speak, and one of them was Jackie Pillinger. And I love this woman because she was a missionary in Hong Kong. And I also went out to Hong Kong for mission work, so yes, I was like, I have to hear her speak. And she was so challenging. She just shared some stories about her work in Hong Kong. So when she was out there, she ended up working with literally the lowest of the low, people that nobody wanted to have anything to do with. She was in the Walled City, which no longer exists, but at the time, the translation of the Walled City in Cantonese was actually darkness. So the place was basically called darkness because it was a place that was so full of just everything terrible you can imagine. Drug addiction, gangs, violence, all sorts was going on there. It's terrible. She has a book about it called Chasing the Dragon. Also not an easy book to read, but I highly recommend it. It's amazing. So she was sharing some of the stories from being out in mission, and it was just amazing to note how much player played a part in that. Player was not just her bread and butter, it was the air she breathed. She found out, so she started, let me share a bit of her story. So basically, she decided she wanted to be a missionary. At the age of about 20, she started trying to make this happen. She wrote to loads of organizations, she wrote to loads of places. They all said, we can't have you, you're too young, and you are a woman. And back then, the mission field was regarded as dangerous. They said, we can't have a woman out here. So she tried everything, all the doors were closed, but she really felt like it's what God wanted her to do. So she bought the cheapest boat ticket she could find for the longest journey. She got on a boat, she went out and just prayed to know where to get off, which is amazing. So yeah, she felt God telling her to get off in Hong Kong. She was almost denied entry into Hong Kong because she literally had no money, no contacts, but somehow God gave her favor. So she ended up doing bits of work. Eventually found herself working with people who were addicted, hooked on opium, which I think is heroin. But she found that by praying, they could come off the drugs without any of the normal terrible symptoms that you would get when you go into withdrawal. So she would pray for these people to live, to see the Holy Spirit. They would start praying in tongues, and just like that, they would come off drugs. I say just like that, but she speaks about how difficult it was, that she would literally be up all night, every night, just laying over these people, these drug addicts that were in her care. And she compares it to a mother kind of looking after her child and waking up in the middle of the night to look after her child and make sure her child is okay. But basically, again, the importance of prayer, the importance of persistence in prayer, the importance of knowing how to hear from God for yourself. And that is something everyone wants, but no one wants to work with it. And like everything else in life, it takes work, it takes effort, it takes time. And that's something we have to invest in it. So at the end of the talk, she prayed, and she asked the young people to raise your hands if you feel God is calling you to somewhere. And all these hands went up. And then she said, okay, I'm going to pray for you. And she started praying. And as she prayed, I looked around, hands were just slowly falling, because even her prayer was so challenging. She said, Lord, thank you for these young people who feel as if they're called by you. And I prayed for sleepless nights for them, hands went down. She said, I prayed for empty fridges for them, hands went down. So the life of following Jesus, it's not as easy as we portray it to be. It's hard, but it's worth it. And it takes effort, but it's worth it. So hopefully that is a word of encouragement for you. Quite an open landing. So yes, that's it basically. That's all I wanted to share today.